Heavenly Father, we open up your word today, looking to you for the strength and help that we need for the truth that's there for us. We pray that you would speak to us, that you would guide us, lead us into all the truth, that truth would be seen in our lives, and we'll give you praise in your name. Amen. Well, today's Father's Day, and I see that people have... Yes, Children's Church. We're glad that we can celebrate this day, a day that the Lord has given us to rejoice, a day that honors our fathers. Some of your fathers may be here. Some of them may be in heaven. They're not with you. A day that we remember them and we reflect and we take the time just to bring honor. The scriptures talk about honoring our father and mother. The first commandment with promise. I had a lady in my first church that used to tell me, you know, I'm so old. I say, well, no. She says, because I obeyed the fifth commandment. I honored my father and my mother. And so he said, he promised, that's the first commandment with promise. And he's given me long life. And I said, well, that's a great thing to do because obedience is never, never out of style. But not only is today Father's Day, but we look around us and we see that the brownness of winter is gone. The fields are coming alive with green and the different shades of green and the textures from the different crops that are there. It's the time of year that the farmers, the gardeners, hopefully your garden is all in. And we've got finished ours off yesterday with the second planting of corn. And so it's getting ready. But before you put your garden in, you just didn't go out in the lawn and sow garden seeds, and the farmer doesn't just go out unless you have a no-till like the guy in the corner there. It's you prepare the soil, you prepare the ground, you prepare things and get them ready earlier in the spring, and you get everything set so that when the time comes, you're able to go out and do what you need to do. Without proper preparation, the things we desire to harvest in the fall aren't going to grow very well. They're not going to do good. Preparation, though, is not always easy, is it? Preparation takes time, takes effort, takes energy, and it costs us something. It's just like being a father. Being a father is more than just bringing a child into the world. It takes time. It takes effort. It takes energy. It takes sacrifice to do the things that we're called on to do because of God's principles and His honor to honor His word. And the very same thing, though, is true for all of our lives. Whether you're a dad or not, and especially of our hearts. So as Christians, our hearts can become hard, and our hearts can become stale. And as a result, they need to be worked up. They need to be plowed up, as we think of the analogy of the farm and the growth. And they need that plowing from time to time, and we need to break up the old habits. We need to break up the old patterns. We need to break up the selfish ways. God, our Heavenly Father, desires to see each of us grow and become more like Him, like His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Dads, moms, teens, kids, all of us, He wants us to be growing. He wants us to be stretching. He wants us to be developing so that He can use us for His cause. We can bring honor to Him and one day be rewarded for the effort and the work that we've done. But many times, we are not progressing in this because our hearts get hard. And we need the ground of our hearts to be worked up. That ground gets tough. And we need a plowing that grows deeper, breaks up. What happens in the old days when they would constantly plow at a certain depth, you would get a plow pan, you get a hard pan, where the plow, if you set it at a certain depth every year the same, then it kind of just packs it down. You get a plow pan. That needs then to be changed by setting a plow depth different or running a chisel plow or something else and tearing up that hard pan so that the root system can get down to that nourishing earth. So when I say it's hard, our hearts get hard, I'm not talking about like Pharaoh had that hard heart. But what I mean by this hard heart today, that the hardness that comes is a desensitization. Our hearts are desensitized to the things of God. and the leading and the prompting of the Holy Spirit. It's hard in the sense that we're not touched as much with what touches God's heart. We're not bothered by what bothers God. We don't sense what He's sensing. We get busy and we get out of touch with the needs of people around us. We get out of touch with the needs of the sinners that are lost. We get out of touch with those in our families and those that are close to us. We begin to get comfortable. And there's nothing wrong with comfort. We all like to kick back once in a while and rest and take an enjoyable time and be comfortable. But we can't stay there because that's just not reality. The more comfortable, though, we get, we may even begin to wonder, do I really need my heart stirred up? Do I really need my life changed? This is kind of nice, just cruising along, just like I am. Problem is, responsibility sets in, and the necessities of life set in, and we're not just there to cruise along in our comfort zone. You see, if our hearts aren't ready, as dads, as moms, as kids, as young people, if our hearts aren't ready for the things God wants to put in them, then what happens is, like, after a long dry spell and the ground gets hard, then you get a hard rain. Not very beneficial, is it? Just kind of runs off. After a long dry spell, you need a slow, long rain that'll penetrate and get in. And that's what we need. And so I'm sure that none of us wants a heart that's in that condition, where if God tries to do something in us, it just bounces off and goes its own way. But many times we don't even realize that our hearts need working up. We get so accustomed to just doing things the same old way. We're not aware of it, but God's aware of it. And He wants to take our hearts and He wants to work that soil of our hearts up. So I'm not going to plow your heart today. That's your responsibility, to ask God to do that in your life. You need to get with Him. You need to ask Him to work up the ground of your heart wherever it's needed. But what I'm going to do is to show you the dangers and the blessings of having your heart ready to receive what God wants to put in there, what He wants to do. The problem is we never know when God may decide to do something in our lives out of the ordinary. And so we need to be ready. We need to be prepared for that. But if our heart's not ready, then we're going to be like the example that Jesus is using in the Gospel of Matthew, which we'll get to in a moment. But before we do, I want to look at a couple of verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 13 and 14. Because here, as we think of Father's Day, we think of a pattern. We think of a model for us. You know, all of us have the models in life. Sometimes they're good ones, sometimes they're not so good. And so sometimes we don't have that opportunity. I was talking to my brother this week and saying, you know, at the age we're at, and I'm older than he is, I'm the oldest, I don't have my dad to look at and say, well, when he was this age, I could see, you know, things going on in his life. You know, after he was killed at 42 years old by that hit-and-run drunk driver, we didn't have that opportunity to see it. And so we didn't know. So what we go through, we kind of look at other people and say, oh, maybe what I'm doing is normal, maybe what I'm feeling is normal, kind of a thing. But there's a pattern, and then there's a model here that is never outdated, whether you have a father, whether you don't have a father, whether he's here, whether he's not. And Paul writes this, and he says, be alert, stand firm in the faith, act like a man, be strong. Your every action must be done with love. There's so many important things there. Be alert. If we're not alert today, an unalert person is in a dangerous position. We live in these times where things aren't like they used to be back in the Leave It to Beaver days. And you could, you know, even when I was a kid, you could go out and you could, you know, roam the streets and play. And the rule was, when you get hungry, come home and eat. And then when you went back out, when the street lights come on, it's time to come home. Nobody worried. Now, there were people out there that were, you know, could do you harm and things, but nothing as prevalent as today. And so the alertness that we need to teach ourselves, and we need to teach our children and our young people, is to be alert to what's going on around you. Be alert, because the dangers out there today aren't so blatant, but they're very subtle, and they're very tricky, and they're very easily crept in, and they almost look right. And so we need to be alert, and Paul is warning us, be alert. And he says, stand firm in the faith. If ever we needed a time to believe in God, to believe in His Word, to believe in those things, and stand firm, it's now. Because it's being challenged, it's being pressured, it's being trying to be destroyed by arguments. Their arguments aren't true, they're not right, they can be proven wrong. But the squeaky wheel always gets the attention, and so when they're always out there blatting about stuff, it's sometimes hard to stand firm in your faith. But we need to stand firm in our faith. If we, as fathers, can't stand firm in our faith, we can't expect those that are under our care to do so either. We need to act like a man. We need to be strong. We need to be strong for what God has intended us to be. And then he says, your every action must be done with love. Boy, that is so, so important. Because everything we want to do, everything we try to do for our families, for those around us, we can undo it in a heartbeat if we don't do it in the spirit of love. And it'll all be undone. And so we have to be very cautious. Now, this principle here isn't just for dads. It's for all of us, for every one of us. We get out of whack here, and we're going to be out of line all the way through. And it's going to be something that shows us that our hearts need to be taken care of. Our hearts need to be plowed. Our hearts need to be worked up. And that brings us to what Jesus teaches us in Matthew chapter 13. It's a very familiar passage. You probably know it well. It's the parable of the sower or the soils that we find here. And it's a very familiar one, but I believe it has answers to why our world is in the condition it's in today. Why are we in this condition? And this is a parable that holds the key to unlocking a richer and a fuller Christian experience and service for each of us. And I want to help us to gain some insight into ourselves today so that we can live in the fullness of Christ, ready to serve, ready to live in His victory. God's plan for us is to live in victory. God doesn't sit back and say, well, you know, I want this person to fail really bad today. And so He devises all kinds of problems and traps. God doesn't work that way. God wants us to be able to succeed for Him. He wants us to know that He wants the best for us. That's why His Son died for us. And so He wants us to follow His lead. He wants us to follow His ways. And this parable holds that key so that we realize that in the fullness of Christ in our lives, we can have that. A question is why are some fathers and some Christians more committed than others? Why do some fathers, some Christians, respond more to the leading of the Holy Spirit? Why do some Christians respond to a message of what God challenges them to do and to become, and others can just sit and listen week after week, time after time, and never change? What's the answer? I believe the answer is before us this morning. The soils that Jesus talks about here represent people, different types of people, not personalities. We all have different personalities, and that's fine, but different types of people. Different types of people and the levels of where they're at in life. The condition of their heart, the condition of what they've chosen, because everything we do by choice. We can't say, well, it's not my fault. No, you choose what you do. And so we are shown here that we can choose to be where we know we should be by following Him. As dads, if we need our hearts right and ready, we need to do that. If you as an individual need that in your life, that's what God is here to do. So I want to look at these things and ask the Lord to help us to see ourselves clearly so that we can change our lives, make those choices to match His desire for us. And His desire for us is to be the best that we can become. So in the days that are ahead, we not only hear, but we do what the Lord says. So if you're going to be effective for Him, we need to check and see what's our spiritual frame of mind and if our hearts need to be worked up and plowed up. Picture the scene. Jesus in somebody's house, probably tired from the day. He got tired just like us. The Bible says that He experienced everything we experience, tiredness, hunger, those kinds of things, except He never sinned. And so picture Him, He's there. He just wants to go outside and get some fresh air. So He comes out and He kind of sits down by the Sea of Galilee and just looking at the water and looking at the sky and listening, you know, to the birds there and feeling the warmth of the sun. And he's sitting there. He's probably looking over to the side and he's watching a farmer planting his prepared field. Now, Jesus wouldn't see a John Deere out there doing anything. He wouldn't see a 20-row planter or an air planter or air drill. But he would see the way they would go out. And a farmer would have a bag of seed, and he would go out and he'd broadcast it to the fields that were prepared there for him. So seeing Jesus, though, there quickly becomes a crowd gathering around him. Wherever he went, he drew a crowd. And so it forced Jesus literally to get into a boat, and he probably watched the people as they continued to gather, and he's looking at the people gathering, he's looking at the farmer, and as was his custom, he used every opportunity to teach. So he begins to do that here. The fields back then didn't look like the fields we have today. You didn't see a 5-acre, 10-acre, 100-acre. We were over in the Thumb Friday. We went over to the Thumb, and some of these new farmers now forget that the lessons that we learned from the Dust Bowl days in the prairie. They've taken out fence rows over there, and so you've got massive fields now of hundreds and hundreds of acres where the wind just whips, and you're watching the dust go. And these people had little small fields, narrow strips of land between pathways and walkways, roadways where people would walk, and they would go and they would scatter their seed in that area. And so in verse 3 of Matthew chapter 13, we read this: "Then he told them many things in parables, saying, consider the sower, or the farmer, who went out to sow, to plant." So he says, think about him. The first type of soil, or the person that we see here, is going to be a path person. And he says, as he was sowing, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. And so there's the path person. This is a person that really needs their hearts worked up. This is a person with a closed mind. Ever know anyone like that? Not open to new truth? I'm not talking about weird revelations that Christianity talks about today. New truth discovered from God's Word, new insight. As you know, because God's Word is a living, live instrument, and it's a living, breathing thing for us. And we can read the same thing many, many times and learn new things. These people, they don't want to know any new truth. I learned this once, don't tell me anything new. They're not wanting to hear anything that may go against the way they think or the way they believe. This is a path person. And a path is a place of activity, isn't it? It's packed down hard in need of being worked up. In your garden, if it's like my garden, you've got paths in between the rows. You get the nice place where you want to plant, all nice and soft and fluffy. Seed goes in. You don't walk on it. You teach the grandchildren. We were doing it again yesterday. You walk up and down the rows. You don't walk across the rows. And so always walk up and down. I taught my kids that when they were little. I'm teaching my grandkids that. You walk on the paths that we've made in between. I wouldn't want to plant anything in where we're walking because it's hard again. I'd have to work it up. So this is a path person. There's activity. It's packed down hard. It's in need of being worked up. And so the path is hard packed by a lot of traffic. In other words, busy people doing busy things. Now, busy things don't always mean they're essential things or they're necessary things or they're important things, but they're busy things. We're busy people in this day and age in which we live. We are probably the busiest generation going. Is it any wonder we see so many health problems in our day? We don't know how to relax. We don't know how to take the time to see what God's done, to refresh ourselves. We don't even relax on His day, but He's given us to take time to do things differently. We all run the risk of being like that. Dad says, "Dads, we need to be on our guard, being so busy that our main responsibility with our family gets lost in the busyness." We need to guard against this kind of lifestyle. Are the things that this person is busy with really going to count? Really going to matter in eternity? We need to ask ourselves that question. Is what I'm doing going to matter in eternity? Or is it just kind of wasting time? Are these things done in love that I'm doing? Does self come first, or does God's will and others come first? You know, as I said earlier, from what Paul said in 1 Corinthians, as dads, we can do more damage than good if we don't respond in love, especially if we're correcting, especially in our training. If we don't do it in love, we do much more damage than any other time. Does that mean we can't get firm? No. But it means that our overall demeanor needs to be that of love. That's what God shows us. That's what God demonstrates to us. Does he withhold justice because of that? No. He's still a just God. He's a holy God. He's a righteous God. And we need to be the same. But here's a person, this path person. They hear the word of God. Maybe it's a church. Maybe it's on the radio or TV. And they just stay the same. You know that because of the lack of fruit. The mind is closed to the truth of what God wants them to do. And it's sad because that type of person is in danger. They close their mind to anything that'll make them uncomfortable. Don't make me uncomfortable. Don't talk to me about those things. I don't want to be. Well, sometimes we need to be uncomfortable before we change. We need to be made uncomfortable before we can change. Didn't Jesus call us disciples to be willing to follow him? To take up our cross daily and follow him. And the cross was what? An instrument of death. Death to self. And so the problem is that the more people hear, the more they fail to respond, what happens is they build up a barrier. They build up a callus. And they become numb to it. It's a very dangerous position. Playing with your eternity. Playing with spiritual growth. Convincing yourself that you don't need to change. You're just fine. Many people sit week after week and listen to the Word of God, and they determined, I have a certain comfort level, don't go past that, not doing anything like that. And if the challenge does, they just shut it down. To listen this way is a sin against God, because he wants to stretch us. He wants to mold us. He wants to make us what he wants. And if you jump to verse 18, as Jesus explains these things, he says, you then listen to the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of God about the kingdom and doesn't understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in the heart. This is the one sown along the path. The truth is sown, the devil comes along, snatches it away with all kinds of arguments, false ideas, false philosophies, and that's destruction comes. But then in verse 5, he says, he's talking about the seed. Others fell on rocky ground. There wasn't much soil, and the seed sprang up quickly since the soil wasn't deep. When the sun comes out, they're scorched, and since they had no root, they withered. And so the second kind of a person we would look at and say, that's the foggy-minded person. They have a foggy way of thinking. And the result of that is over in verses 20 and 21. And the one sown on rocky ground, this is one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Oh, wow, this is awesome. Yet, there's no root in themselves. He says, but it's short-lived. When pressure or persecution comes because of the world, immediately they stumble. And we need to be careful in our country that we're not foggy-minded people. We've never had to really face persecution here. Doesn't mean we won't. Where is your faith? Do you have soil that's like this rocky ground with very little soil in it so that when things are going well, oh man, I'm all for it. Yeah, yay, rah, rah, Jesus. But what if somebody's threatening you with your life or your family or with other things and they're saying you deny Jesus, or you say, well, that doesn't happen anymore. Oh, really? Go tell the people in Sudan that today in 2022. Go tell the people in many, many countries in Africa and many Muslim countries where if you confess Jesus as Lord, you're gone. They're executing families in front of people. They're destroying their homes in front of them. And it's real. It's happening. We're just so sheltered here. Or our comfort zone doesn't want to hear that. We shut it down. It's happening. Are we ready? Are we on rocky ground? And so this definitely needs a plowed heart. This is the type of soil, the type of person that these things stop them from taking root. It's superficial attitudes, surface attitudes, no depth, kind of in a fog in their thinking. Jesus says this is a picture of a person. They get saved. They want Jesus. They're excited about it and all that they want. They're just cruising along all of life. They just want to have easy sailing, no struggles. Just bless me, Jesus. And that's all they want. They don't take the time to read the Word of God. They don't take time to study the Word of God. Prayer is simple, or it's missing most of the time in their lives. They never take time to memorize the Scripture so that they can meditate on it during the day. They have no foundation that it's built on. They're a Christian and will tell you that. That's some of what they believe, but they don't know why they believe it, because they've never looked into it. When life gets tough, they fold. When trials come, they fall. When temptations come, they yield. Everything is rosy with this type of person until the waters get rough, until situations get rough. This type of person is easily swayed by cults or anyone else that talks a good line. No root, no foundation, nothing solid. The reason? They're not solid in God's word and its message. When they listen, you know, we have to ask, are they listening with a foggy mind? Are they listening for God to show us the insights he wants from the truth of his word and how it applies to life? You know, how can one with a foggy mindset properly train their children or their grandchildren in the word or train them to be effective Christians? They can't. We need to choose to get beyond foggy and get the depth that's needed by getting below the rocky stuff underneath. And then verse 7 is another type of soil, type of person. He says, others fell among thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them. And so this type of person has a mindset that we would call cluttered in their mind. Look at verse 22 as Jesus explained it. He says, now the one sown among the thorns, this is one who hears the word, but the worries of this age and the seduction of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. That's what happens in their life. Cluttered thinking, cluttered life, a mind and a life that's full of stuff. This person comes to a service and they listen, and it's just floating around with all the other stuff. Instead of being ready to dig in and learn, their mind is full of all kinds of things. No discipline in their thoughts, no discipline in their lives. They sit there, they go into a service, and did I turn the oven off? Did I turn the oven on? Did I plug the crock pot in, or didn't I plug the crock pot in? Did I close the barn up? Did I put the tools away? You know, what do I have to do today? Am I going to get a nap at all today? I wonder how long this service is going to last. And on the clutter goes. Daydreams, jobs, home, all those things. And the devil uses these thorn bushes of the worldly cares to rob them of joy and depth and commitment and power and growth and fellowship. God, spiritual things, service, church, they all get lost in the multitude of things in that cluttered mind. And the devil rejoices because we're ineffective. We're ineffective for Christ. He'll do all he can to sidetrack us from the main objectives. The overall choice is ours. The overall church in America today has fallen prey to a lot of this attitude, and it's showing in the condition of our country. Where has the church been standing up against the stuff that's been going on in our nation like they did in our early history, where they stood up for what was right and pushed what was right? You see, the enemy will use people, attitudes, situations to keep us away from really moving forward with the Lord. We need to get control by seeking Jesus, seeking his righteousness first, like he says in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all this stuff you worry about and fuss about and fret about, that'll be added to you. Don't sweat it. It's kind of a paraphrase, but that's what he's saying to us. Undisciplined minds give the enemy a great advantage. And then, thankfully, Jesus didn't end it there. He gives us a healthy alternative. In verse 8, he says, still others fell on good ground and produced a crop, some 100, some 60, some 30 times what was sown. Anyone who has ears should listen. And then he explains that over in verse 23. But the one sown on the good ground, this is one who hears, understands the word, who does bear fruit, and it yields some 100, some 60, some 30, what was sown. Productive, positive things that go on because they listened to the word. The good ground, the ground that was prepared. Every good ground, even good ground, needs at times to be worked up a little bit. Needs to have a surface cleaning sometimes. I till a bunch of stuff ahead of time, and certain weeds start coming back. So those have to be taken out in preparation of planting. It's good soil. It's ready to go. I could plant it. But I see stuff starting to come up. So even the good ground, we need to be open, and we are, because that person is. And they can make that comeback. This is one who has a teachable spirit, willing to change and do what is necessary for personal, for family, for church growth, so that things happen for God. A wise person, one open to all that God has or wants to do in their life. And I'll tell you, until you open yourself up to what God wants, you're always going to think that this is going to be bad, this is going to be boring, this is not going anywhere. And when you open your life up to what he wants, it's like, oh, wow, why did I wait so long? Why did I fight it? Why did I resist it? Why did I not give in to him a long time ago? Because we can't compete with God's best for our lives. We can't add what we want and get what he wants for us. And so, and I'm not talking about prosperity and wealth and all this kind of stuff where, yeah, I'm going to get with God, man, I'm going to have it made. Be driving a convertible. We went up to the car dealer this past week because our lease was up, and there was this gorgeous Corvette Stingray sitting there. And I said to Steve, I said, well, I see you got my next vehicle ready for me. He says, no, he says, that one's going to, I think, California or somewhere, or Florida. I said, well, that guy doesn't need that. I said, you should use that for a loaner when somebody brings their vehicle in here to have their oil changed or something. And he said, it doesn't work that way. But you see, some people will tell you, you become a Christian, that Stingray is going to show up in your driveway. I doubt it. I mean, it could. You know, God can do anything, but I highly doubt it's going to show up in your driveway. Besides that, you couldn't afford the insurance, and you wouldn't want to put the gas into that it needs. You know, on and on it goes. God knows what's best. Trust him. Fertile soil, where the truth of God's word can grow and produce a lot of fruit for his glory. These people listen closely, and they're more determined. They have a committed mind, ready and eager to hear and obey all that God has for them. You see, this paves the way for exciting possibilities in our lives, in our families, in our church, in our community. It's the person who will hear and obey and bear fruit that brings glory to God. God's looking for people like this. He's looking for churches that are full of people like this. He wants to use them. And I'm sure that we want to become more and more usable, that God has a work for us to do that's far greater than any of us can imagine. He's waiting to help to see us and open our hearts to his word and his will and to respond to him in that way. He wants fathers to set the example. He wants moms to come in and support it. He wants the young people and the children to follow in and realize that this is the way to go. Saying yes to him, to whatever it takes to see his work accomplished in and through us. So we need to determine that we're going to be a committed listener and a learner and a doer. That we're going to be obedient, eager to bear fruit and be used. We're going to be willing to give our life to Christ because he gave his for us. It's a cause. It's a purpose that's worth our giving everything to be a part of. So let's keep that in mind as we think of the things that God has for us to do.